Kane again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello, I'm Charles Commins. Welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the award-winning podcast about Northampton Town Football Club. This week, we're looking back at the 1-0 defeat to Mansfield, NTFC Women's emphatic victory over Leicester, and Neil's got a brand new lost letter to share. Before I introduce Neil Edgerton Scott and Danny Brothers, we've received lots of really lovely feedback on the podcast over the last couple of weeks, including one from our guests on last week's episode of the preview show, Mansfield Matters. So thank you to everyone who's been in touch. Bless you, Neil.
Excuse me.
Thank you to everyone who's been in touch. And thank you to Danny, who has put in a lot of hard work as well to get the preview show back up and running this year. I just wanted to say that, Danny. Thank you very much.
I enjoy it.
That's a round of
It's a lovely episode else. This week. They're all lovely episodes, but Clive and Craig were beautiful company.
I'll be honest, though, a bit annoyed with Clive.
Oh, what's Clive done to you?
Clearly didn't go and get enough cups of coffee, did he?
He didn't, no. Bloody hell, Clive. He didn't get any.
Get yourself out, Clive.
Get out.
I enjoyed that they started asking me questions about my favourite biscuit.
Oh, yes. And I can't believe. Yeah, hang on a minute, though. Danny Brothers.
Yes.
What biscuit did you forget to mention?
Oh, this is the Christmas Bourbon, but I'm going to cancel that out, Charles, by saying that that's a seasonal biscuit, so it technically can't be a favourite biscuit.
It could be a favourite, just because you. In fact, I'd maybe say that it makes it even more likely to be your favourite because you can only have it at a certain time of year.
No. If I want a biscuit, I want it all year round, Charles.
And oh, okay. That,
it goes out of the debate for me. It's a lovely treat,
right?
In December, yeah.
What did you go for in the end?
As soon as the Pogues come on. Get your Christmas bourbons out. I went for the, what was it, chocolate hobnob, Charles?
Chocolate hobnob.
Yeah, which was, I believe, John Joe Tall's favourite.
Dark biscuit chocolate as well. Hobnob.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Get that. Take it up a level, Danny.
Yeah. Ooh. Yes, dip it.
While we're on the subject, shall we, Neil, what's your favourite biscuit?
Well, do I have a favourite biscuit?
Is it the pink wafer?
No. I never understood the excitement for the pink wafers.
I only ever got pink wafers when I went to visit my nan. She always
they
got
were a very nan biscuit.
That's a very nan biscuit.
Yeah.
I do like a dark chocolate. Anything dark chocolate, really, or
Jammy Dodger.
Yeah, a Jammy Dodger.
I'm a fan of the Golden Crunch.
Oh yeah, that's a nice one. Yeah,
it's a nice one. What is it? Because it's not ginger biscuit, but it's a bit like a bourbon in terms of it's two biscuits sandwiching some cream.
Oh,
and yeah,
isn't it?
but yeah,
what happens in Stevenage stays in Stevenage.
I'm that
delightful. I hope Matt and Steve is.
I have a biscuit related question.
Mm.
You can't really get a horrible biscuit, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
You get ones that aren't as nice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can get ones that you think, that's not my favourite sort of biscuit. You still eat it, though.
Mm.
I don't think there's a biscuit I won't eat.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
If anyone can come up with a biscuit that Neil would not eat.
It has to be a real biscuit that you can buy in a shop, though. You can't obviously be like, well, a poo biscuit. Because I'd still eat it. I love biscuits. One of my vices, biscuits, actually.
Oh, me too. I'm
a good biscuit.
I'm a biscuit procrastinator, if that makes sense. I will procrastinate by eating biscuits.
They're dangerous, though, aren't they? Because next thing you know, you're half a pack down, and then you're in that conundrum.
Should I finish the packet?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you've dove in already. You might as well.
You may as well.
Also,
they go soft.
There's part.
You don't want that.
Don't want that. it's also the conundrum, isn't there, that you want. Oh, I knew that was coming.
You say nobody wants. Some people probably do.
It's also that conundrum, isn't there, whether you need to finish the packet to hide the evidence that you ever opened them.
Yes.
That's the problem. Yes. So, yeah.
Anyway, talking about soggy biscuits.
Mansfield away.
I mean, we never win there. Why were we even optimistic about it? I don't understand why we were so happy. Because we were third in the league. Were being the optimum word.
I actually think the performance and the result against Mansfield has seen a realisation in more fans than not. I think that we were potentially in a bit of a false position. I mean, I think we've spoken about it a fair bit, actually, haven't we? That we've said, was that some music just sneaking in there?
I can't tell. I think it might be yours, something to do with your microphone, Neil.
No.
Anyway, carry on.
Well, carry on. Yeah. So I think Twitter's not necessarily the best place to garner reaction, especially immediately after a loss.
Mm.
But there's more so than people getting, I think, frustrated now. And I don't know. The worst thing I think about the game and the result against Mansfield is, I think we all kind of expected it a little bit, which isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, hands up. I didn't watch it. I didn't even listen to it. I tell a lie. I turned it on, heard the goal go in, and went, "Oh, I'm not bothering," and turned it off. Because I was busy. I was doing something. I was out, and it was just that moment where we were driving. I can't remember where we were driving. We were driving from one shop to another, and I just thought, right, I'll pop it on. And I'd had a bit of trouble getting iFollow to work in the first place. To get the commentary on, and by the time it started working, and then that happening, I was just like, "No, forget it. I'm annoyed now, and I'm even more annoyed because we've just conceded." But I see what you're saying, Neil. In terms of like, it's very, you know, instant reactions. They tend to be, and this is both, you know, when we've won or when you've lost, they tend to be very. Over the top is...
Emotionally charged.
Yeah, emotionally charged, yeah. They're maybe not as all-encompassing.
Oh, no, one of the worst for it as well, by the way. I'm not criticising, I'm terrible for it.
But, I mean, it's one of the reasons why we don't do an instant reaction pod or, you know, quiz space or anything like that. Because it would be like, oh...
Shut the club down.
Shut it down. Close it. Bulldoze six. It'd be all of that. It would be. And, you know, you wouldn't be. and it would be very much just not thinking. You know, it's that whole thing, isn't it? When they say about football managers, you know, they should always take a little bit of time before they go and do their interviews. Otherwise, Dean Austin turns up.
Yeah, it is that thing. I think a lot of football managers.
Keith Cole took that a little bit too literally, did he?
sometimes.
Poor old Tim's waiting for him on the pitch.
3 hours later. A lot of managers always say as well, we don't get carried away when we win and we don't get carried away when we lose and stuff. So
John Brady's been saying that all season, to be fair.
Do you know what I'd like to see?
I know he's changed tack now. He's changed tack to blaming the refs, hasn't he? So
do you know what I'd like to see, though? I'd like to see us get carried away when we lose, and I'd like to see us get carried away when we win, because I feel like everything's a bit too passive.
Agreed.
And I think it has been all season.
I agree.
I think that's not just John Brady, but it is partly down to him. It's the players. I know Liam Roberts has a bit of a go at the end of every game when we win, doesn't he? But I feel like from a fan base, we're a little bit passive. We have been all season. Like a win's just like, okay, we won another game, blah, blah, blah. We'll move on. It's Tranmere, I think, probably felt the only game we've properly celebrated a victory. This season,
for the
anniversary at home. Yeah. I know there's likely been away games where we have, and it's felt more like that away from home. But I just think we've gone into a game like that on Saturday. Potentially, people could tell us differently because we've only watched it on iFollow. But it feels like there's 7 games to go. We're in a match against a promotion rival. Mm-hmm. We're away from home. We've taken nearly 1,000 fans there. It didn't feel like it has done in the past.
Right.
As in, it didn't feel like people believed that this was a promotion game. It felt like just another Saturday afternoon game. And I was there in front of the screen, just getting wound up by every decision and really into it and really like fired up for the game. And I just, it's nothing against people who went and stuff, but it just didn't feel like the team is creating the atmosphere where we can properly get behind a promotion push. It just feels like we're there and it's happening in front of us. And it doesn't feel like there's that thing that we usually get with promotion seasons where we're properly like singing about a play all game, or we're properly, there's those characters in the squad that you can just really get behind and players who you know you can trust and you know you're gonna just have fun watching. And other teams seem to have that and we don't seem to have it. I don't know what it is. It feels really weird. We're just really kind of rolling through the season and this playoff or promotion challenge, whatever it is happening. And we're not getting involved in it. It just feels odd to me.
You made a point, there, didn't you, Neil, on our WhatsApp group with the, I mean, you threw some stats out there.
I did, yeah.
And
good stat. I'm all about the stats.
Love a good stat.
Stat manager.
It feels like, because don't get me wrong, after last week where I was going, all right, positive podcast, we really want to have a really positive episode. And I'd love to be as positive as we can this week, but there's got to be some realism here. And I think, Neil, your stats bring some realism.
Yep,
so
I think they do.
The stats that you sent to me, and yeah. I'll caveat this. With,
it wasn't just to you, to Danny as well. Right, to
put on the WhatsApp app. Yeah. I've not checked them, just to caveat. But they are Neil's stats.
Neil's strong stats of the week.
So the Cobblers have the second lowest successful pass completion percentage in the league. They have the second lowest number of short passes in the league, which I believe is only one above Sutton.
I think it was Sutton, yeah.
Yeah, they have the second lowest amount of goals scored from open play. And in terms of shots on target, we're the 19th best in the division for that.
Eddie Heights.
Remember at the start of the season when we did the fans forum, one of the things that John Brady said, I've written the word promised here, I think he promised, bums off seats football. I don't really see that happening. And I think maybe that is the problem. And that's where your apathy, if you like, Danny, that you're seeing or you're feeling is maybe coming from, is that it isn't exciting to go and watch necessarily.
Yeah.
When we do win, it's great that we've won, but it's not necessarily been a fantastic game where we've dominated and, you know, there's been loads and loads and loads of chances. I mean, I come away from most games, being honest, going, oh, we've had maybe, what, two shots on target?
But I don't think I'm apathetic at all.
I don't mean you. I mean, the description that you were giving was that maybe there's a bit of apathy rather than excitement.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like that could have been a game, or it should have been a game on Saturday, where the fans are there from the off and going for it, and the players are properly pumped up and are, like, really getting stuck in and, yeah, like really feeling it. And after the game, you feel like John Brady comes out again and saying, you know, he's gone from saying, oh no, people would have been happy if we were second at the start of the season. Then he's gone to, people would have been happy if we were third at the start of the season. Yeah. I wonder how low it's going to get before we get to 10th. And he's like, well, you know, this is what we expected. And part of me thinks, okay, fine. But, and if the season works out a different way and we start off a little bit badly and we power towards a playoff, then obviously there's a bit of a weird, different dynamic about it. But the whole thing just feels like it's not a promotion challenge and we're just there. And I'm still trying to put my finger on what that is.
We're trundling along.
We're lead trundling along.
We're not. We're, no, that would be great. If
that would be great if we were lead trundling along.
But yeah. If you look at your point about Mansfield on Saturday, Danny, in past times, we'd have sold that away and out.
Yeah.
It would have been bouncing and it would have been, but I think, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak people or anything. There's probably an element of cost related to that at the moment. Times are hard right now.
Absolutely.
And there's been a lot of cost of living stuff and all that sort of thing and stuff. So it's probably an element of that. And there's probably also an element of what you said, Charles. The football isn't particularly enticing, to be honest. I mean, it's not quite as bad as when Keith Kerr was in charge, but it's not far off, if we're brutally honest. I mean, and there's also not really any characters in the squad. there's the quality of play is relatively poor. The odd slight bit of quality occasionally comes from Mitch Pinnock, doesn't it? Where you're like, but outside of that, I don't know. I mean, it's when you were saying, Danny, when you were saying that you were watching on iFollow and you were like getting angry at the decisions and stuff, I was the complete opposite. I was laid back on the sofa and nonplussed. And I don't know why. I just felt like it was inevitable what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's for that. And but, it works both ways, right? That the fans should sort of get the team going. But
you even look at that Wembley team, don't you? When we're under Curl. And at least you've got Nicky Adams in there. You've got the likes of Alan McCormack and even Verdane Oliver, Callum Morton, Jordan Turnbull, Charlie Goode. You had that feel about them where you could properly get behind them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is about this team. It feels like it takes a defeat for us to see that and to see that there are no character that, but there is characters, but there's not as many. There's not as strong a team, I don't think, as there was back then.
Would you say that it's maybe the bond? Because I'm trying to remember now off the top of my head how many songs the fans, our fans, sing about individual players in this team.
Yeah, we don't really.
I can't think of any at all. I mean, obviously, Liam Roberts gets a song, doesn't he? But a goalkeeper traditionally gets a song as they walk towards the goal before kicking off.
Yeah, Ali Koiki had a couple.
Ali Koiki had
but one. But nothing like...
There is a couple of others.
But it doesn't feel like it...
There's a couple we sing that they don't want to hear.
You know, yeah. I mean, it doesn't feel like to me that there is that many compared to, in as you're saying, teams gone by. You know, I just don't... Whether that's a thing where it's... Players don't stay for long enough to really get in there. Because, I mean, I look at it and I said, you know, you're saying that there's no characters in the squad. I think there are characters. I think they just don't necessarily have an affinity with the fan base.
Or they've not been here long enough, maybe, yeah.
Or, yeah, exactly. And I think because Liam Roberts is definitely a character.
Yeah, I mean, he's going in the summer anyway, isn't he?
So. Probably.
I think Aaron McGowan is a little bit as well.
I think, I think he's a bit of a character. I mean, you know, like one of the things that is going to stick in my mind about Aaron McGowan from this season is his post-match interview after the Rochdale defeat, where he got substituted and he clearly wasn't very happy about the position on the pitch that he'd been playing. And, you know, I think to myself, that's you don't get that from many professional footballers who actually tell you that they're annoyed. That they're pissed off because they had to be played in a different position to what they actually play in.
It feels like we're a bunch of players that are on their way through to somewhere else. Like, it doesn't feel like they are invested in what we're doing now. It feels like they're here for a season and see what happens.
Do you not think that that's like a lot of teams in League Two, though?
A lot of teams, yeah, but not promotion teams. Like, you look at Mansfield on Saturday, you see a team, you see... I mean, especially their strength. Like,
oh, they look so much stronger.
They're so much stronger. They completely overpowered us.
Which you could argue is you could argue they. I'm sure they're not necessarily stronger. You could argue that was just them showing that they wanted it more.
Yeah.
What I mean though is that, you know, how many teams in this division, how many clubs in this division get to build a team over a number of years? How many of those teams have really low turnovers of their playing squad every summer? I don't think we're alone by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but the one team that have done that at top of the league, the top two essentially have done that.
Yeah, and that's absolutely fine and fair to say. Absolutely.
We're just not there.
But there are four promotion places in this division, aren't there? And the one thing that I think it would be unfair not to mention is the fact that essentially, if we go back to pre-season, you know, John Brady, I don't think Calderwood was necessarily that much involved, but they started from scratch. I mean, I think they've said this, haven't they, recently? They started from scratch in their recruitment process. They didn't have a list of players that was, you know, built up over a period of time. It was literally...
Don't care. I don't like that excuse at all.
I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying that it's only right that you turn around and say, well, look, you know, at the end of the day, they put together a team that was good enough up until maybe, let's say,
4 weeks ago, to really be competing for automatic promotion, which is the majority of the season, right? Now, I would personally go and say then on the back of that, that January let us down an awful lot.
Yeah, agree on January.
We lost.
The recruitment was poor.
Losing Martin Foyle. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to stand in anybody's way if they want to move on and do something that they want to do at, and they're going to get that at another place. That's absolutely fine. But certainly losing him and not actually having someone to replace him as a, you know, whatever it is, director of recruitment or whatever it was, a head of recruitment. It shows, really, doesn't it? Because all we brought in during the window were, well, what, about 700 strikers, all of them pretty much either not fit or liable for injury. The one midfielder that we bring in, it just kind of, and I know you can't predict this, but he goes and gets injured. But I mean, again, he came to the club, he wasn't fit. You know, so it's not as though he came into the club all guns blazing, ready to go straight away. He was always going to take a few weeks to get up to speed, just like the rest of them, you know, were going to. And then he goes and gets his jaw broken, which, of course, you can't look and say, oh, that might happen. You know, that's just bad luck. But then we've had these injuries as well. And it does then make you go, well, the recruitment just hasn't been good enough in January, whether it's to get the right depth or to get somebody in that need. I don't think we were ever going to necessarily go and get a striker that was going to do what Callum Morton did. That's very lucky that happened, I think, personally. I mean, maybe I'm being disingenuous to Keith Curl there, but I do think there is a huge element of luck. You bring a youngster in from a Premier League or a Championship side as a striker, you know, you don't know that they're going to be able to score goals in, you know, League Two. There's no history of them doing it. And then they come in and they do score. I mean, they're going to leave you and get moved on, like Atete did, like Morton did. You know,
but a lot of what Morton brought was attitude, wasn't it? It was his attitude. You could tell from the start he was willing to put in a shift for the club, for the fans that were watching him.
He had a hunger.
He had a hunger and he had a desire to do it while he was here for us.
Are you saying that you don't think that Apare, Lebala?
Well, Apare's not alone, is he? Apare,
Zimba. Okay.
Apare's a long term. I think he's fine. Lebala, okay. I haven't seen anything of quality-wise. He puts in a bit of effort. I don't see it in him that, or Zimba particularly, that they want to do it for us. I don't see it in a lot of the players that are here long-term or that are here like for longer contracts that they want to do it.
I have a theory on it.
Go on.
You may remember, you should remember, we were there, but at the start of the season, and I think it's been alluded to a couple of times throughout the season, that John Brady had asked the players to come up with their own target.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to achieve?
Oh, yeah.
It's come up in conversation, in interviews a couple of times. We're still on track, you know, with the target the players gave themselves or something along those lines. If that target... Right, so I have a bit of a mini gripe about it, depending on what that target was, which I will never know. So my mini
definitely
gripe
wasn't first. We know that.
Well, so this is my thing. So if the players have come up with, I mean, a target of themselves, and they say our target is to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If you then sat in third for a period of time, in the back of your head, all going to be all right. John Brady is not going to bollock us because, you know, even if we lose a couple, we're still going to be in the playoffs, and so we're on track for the season.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's really a bit of a far-fetched theory, but I mean, I know if I was at work and I wouldn't get my team to set the target because what they would set wouldn't be what I would want them to achieve. I would want them to achieve more. So it's one of those things I've just been thinking about over the weekend, and I'm sure it's not as simple and as cut
as and dry. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more to it and stuff, and it might have been, right, you know, who knows, like 1.8 points a game, that's our target. I don't know, who knows, but I
mean, I wonder though whether on the back of that, so let's just say for argument's sake, because obviously we don't know, but let's just say that the players themselves targeted the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they say that's the answer that they give John Brady. And then the way that the bonuses are worked out for, you know, the seasonal bonuses is based on, right, okay, well, if that's what you're aiming to achieve, well, if you don't get the playoffs, no bonus, because you've not achieved the thing that you guys have decided that that's what you're going to do. If you do get to the playoffs, then you get your minimum bonus because that's what you're saying that you're able to achieve. And you then give them a higher bonus on the basis of automatic promotion and an even higher bonus for winning the league, because it's incentive driven then. So surely at that point, what the players are doing is that they're going, okay, so we'll get a bonus if we get into the playoffs, but it won't be, you know, spectacular. It's just what is essentially expected of us. Whereas if we get automatic promotion, we'll earn more money. And obviously, the further up from that you go, the more money that they'll have necessarily been offered. I mean, obviously, we don't know what the bonus structure is at the football club. We don't know what anybody's wages are or anything like that at all. But as with any game of football manager or any, you know, like you're saying, Neil, if your team at work, you want to incentivize them. Well, you're not, if you want them to achieve one thing, you're not going to just tell them, oh, this is all I really want you to achieve. You're going to say that you want them to get better than that. Because then you'll secretly be happy if they actually do achieve the thing that, you know, you needed them to do. Mm. But you'll be over the moon if they hit the target that you set them.
It's down, then down to the players, though, isn't it, to go above and beyond what they set themselves?
Yes, exactly.
But if I've got a target, if I'm working on something, if I've got a target, I automatically think, well, what can I do better and what can I do more than that?
But that's you, and that's because you care enough about whatever you're doing.
But that's the thing.
But same for me, in my role, and going back to your point, do the players care enough? Who knows? Like, I'm not saying they don't care.
Mm. But you look back, and I know it's probably a lazy thing to do, but you look back on teams that got promoted in the past, and you think, even Dean Pier cared enough to, you saw it in him that he wanted to win every game. He wasn't the best quality.
I'd love Dean Pier, right?
Yeah. Like Samo, Razor, you could never say against them that they didn't want to win every game, and you wouldn't say... No. They were never the type of characters, Chris Hargreaves, never the types of characters who would settle for fifth or sixth. Mm. They're going to give it a right go to go for third. They wouldn't get it maybe, but they're going to go for it. And you can see it in their eyes. You can see it when they walk out on the pitch. They're going to fight and they're going to go for better than what they set themselves. Scott McLeish, that time, I'm just going to throw names out.
At the risk of sounding like an old man here.
Go on. Phil Chard.
is that maybe... you know, football's changed.
No, it's
players,
not.
Players are paid far more money these days than they were back then.
No, it's rubbish.
That's nonsense.
Okay. All
right. No, because when you look at teams like...
Sorry, Charles. We were both like, no. Yeah. Nonsense.
But, you know, you look at what Leicester did that season. I know it's a one-off, but the likes of Wes Morgan won the Premier League because he's strived to be better than staying up in the division, and they've ended up winning the league. It's things like that can happen in football, and you've got to have the attitude to go and do it. And it's down to the individuals, but it's down to the club, and it's down to how we set ourselves. It's down to how they're managed. And I mean, Colin Caldwell was in charge of one of the teams that got promoted. And he had characters in his team, and it was the way that he played football. It's fine. We got promoted in the end. We did it. But there were still the likes of Chris Hargreaves in there, weren't they? And the people who you could tell wanted it. And I just don't get that feeling from them. And it's down to us now in the next six games to prove us wrong, saying this here. Because we've put ourselves in a place in fourth. We've done good. We've done well this season. We've actually won games of football. We've lifted it a little bit. We've recovered from last season. John Brady's done a great job in terms of his first full season in charge. It's his first full season in proper management. It was always going to be difficult starting afresh, but we've got ourselves in this position now, and it's down to the players now to show we are good enough and we want to get up. Prove us wrong. And that's all we want to say. And I'd be so happy to see us go and shove these words down our throats, but they've got to go out there as individuals now and show, I want this promotion for this football club.
Right now,
you know what? One of the things. Sorry, Charles. No, I was going to say, do you know one of the things that frustrates me a little bit?
Sam Hoskins.
Well, all the time. we never really look like we're in a hurry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, but I know that's probably a weird thing to say for a football
urgency
team. Yeah, urgency.
We were also never in a hurry under Martin Wilkinson either. Do you remember? Just leisurely passing it between us at the back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like that. But I just mean even like little niggly things when the ball goes off and stuff. It's just like ambling over to the throw-in and things like that. And it's like, you know, look, promotion's achievable.
Yeah. And they're not talking about it either.
You've got to go and take it, right?
Yeah. No one's talking about promotion. No one's coming up after games when we've lost and going, no, it's a massive, you know, we're really like, they'll say the words, but it doesn't feel like they're really that first. Oh, we've always got next week. We'll come back and do it next week.
Mm. And it's been like that all season, though, hasn't it? Yeah, after a defeat, it's always okay. It's like that thing where John Brady has said in the past, so we'll go back to before Christmas, if we've had a defeat, he's always said, well, you know, we don't get carried away with it, blah, 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 just the same as you don't with a win. And it's almost like that has still just gone on. Like, there's no urgency. There's no kind of like, we need to go and win. I've still not heard anybody turn around and go, if we've got aspirations of getting promoted this season, then we really need to go and win next week or anything like that. It feels like we're having our expectations managed. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it does actually.
And I just kind of go, no. You don't get to manage my expectations.
I will manage them myself.
I will manage them myself. Quite right. I mean, look, before the season, we all gave predictions, and my personal was I thought we'd finish 10th. And look, that was before a ball was kicked. That was before I'd really seen how this team was going to perform in the league. That was before we were sat basically in second place in the league for what felt like months. And before we started falling, you know, down the pecking order and getting beaten by terrible teams, or maybe not terrible teams, but certainly drawing against terrible teams like Scunthorpe.
Oh, lost to Barrow as well, didn't we?
And losing to Barrow and all of it. And I just think to myself, no, my expectations aren't, because of where we were, expectations change. That's the thing, isn't it? They do change.
Yeah, of course it does.
And so therefore, my expectations started to be, well, I expect us to now challenge for promotion. It doesn't feel like we're challenging for promotion, though, now. It feels like we're almost giving up. And I'm not saying that they are. And I, you know, don't get me wrong, if any of the players or the management team are listening, I'm not saying that you are giving up. But it almost feels like, because there's no lack of, as you were saying, urgency, Neil, there's no like passion about promotion. There's passion about the football.
That's what it is.
There is, but for promotion, there isn't anything. And I just
feels
don't...
like it's whimpering out the season.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's felt like that probably for a month or so. That slowly but surely things are winding down for the summer.
It's, you know, just gradually. Weird, it feels like we're in
ice cream shops, shirt, pasty shops, just selling off some old stock.
Brilliant.
Well, where does
chairs
that
are getting involved?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
For me,
that's what it feels like to me. I don't know. I mean,
the thing is, though, right?
It sounds ridiculous because we're fourth.
If we do end up in fifth or sixth, suddenly it then becomes a knockout competition, doesn't it? And you just think it comes exactly like it was a couple of years ago under Keith Curl. That it turns into a different thing other than a league, and people see it as a cup competition, and suddenly we might spring to life again. It's. I just don't fancy against any of those teams below us at the moment. No, I wouldn't fancy us against any of them in the playoffs, even down to Salford.
Do you think that one of the other things I read at the weekend was
Daily Mail,
the Beano?
No, absolutely not.
I love the difference that we just went to.
What did you say, Charles?
The Beano.
You are
the Beano.
Oh no, it's too highbrow for me. I read on Twitter a couple of comments having a little bit of a dig at the style of football that we play. And two or three responses were saying that you can't blame John Brady and Colin Coldwood for that because they don't have a big budget. And I didn't get involved. I wasn't involved in that Twitter thread at all at that point. I was just being a lurker in the background reading it. But that's absolutely rubbish. Like, big budget doesn't automatically mean great style of football, and low budget doesn't automatically mean crap style of football. The style of football you play is the style of football you play. The quality of that style will obviously differ. The better players, the better quality, but the style and what you choose to play, i.e. bums off seat football or bums firmly on seat trying not to doze off football, that's not impacted by whether your budget's bottom six, mid-table, top six, or whatever it is. That's not impacted. The style is the style, right?
I don't think it's actually that bad, the style. I don't think I don't think it's awful.
Well, it's like, not
we have our moments,
but it's
not Chris Wilder-esque.
Yeah,
it's
the problem is better than Keith Curl's style.
It's not that much better. And if you look at those stats from earlier, look, second lowest successful pass percentage, that's atrocious. Second lowest number of short passes. Okay, look, you could argue that one's perhaps not as important because that's obviously not our style. Second lowest goals from open play. That is awful. 19th in terms of shots on target. That's your entertainment stuff right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me,
goals from open play, shots on target. And yeah, I mean, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the shots on target thing is the most worrying out of all of those. Personally, I look at that and I think for it, especially when you put our league position into that, because
it's got to the point now where Brady is having to call out and say in interviews, well, we had a fair few chances, but he has to call them out individually. Because then, just like, well, you know, Mitch Pinnock hit the bar, and
am I right in saying that the club
Danny Rose had a header that he missed?
Am I right in saying that the club tweeted a video of Mitch Pinnock hitting the bar?
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
Look at us
to show how close we came.
We almost scored.
We almost scored. Oh, great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think they've got that one wrong. I'll say.
Having not seen it,
by the way, I'm going to guess now that in the comments were several Mansfield fans going and laughing at us because we've put out that.
I haven't seen the comments.
And then there's loads of Cobblers fans going, what on earth is this? Embarrassing.
To your point, Danny, is...
Yes.
I think it is still a relatively poor style of football because... So I think it's aesthetically slightly more pleasing than under Keith Curl. Keith Curl was definitely, definitely direct, lump it, right? It's not as bad as that. But in terms of end product, and which is the end, look, the entertainment of going to football is celebrating a goal and seeing chances, right?
Yeah.
That's the entertainment part. I'm not even that fussed about tippy-tappy football or anything like that, really. What I want to see is goals, shots on target, attacking football, where possible, and us, the team I support, taking the game to the other team. That's what I want to see. And I don't think we really see that. I think actually, we set up to a little bit, play on the break. And I don't like it.
I just found some comments, Charles, on that
video.
There's only two.
Both from Charles.
One says, embarrassing, we have to post this because it was our only chance. But the other one just says, it was easier to score, but it's more the person that I want to shout out. Stav Viking Nil Satis Nissi Optimum Exodi posted that. He's got a Norwegian and a UAE flag.
Okay. Is that not the Everton motto?
No idea. He said Nil it was easier Satis to score. So. I mean, apparently if he's saying that was easier to score as an Everton fan, then...
Apparently he is good friends with Podney Trotter, so...
Nice. Okay. Just before we go for a quick break and then get to the post bag, remaining games, Bradford at home, Oldham away, Harrogate at home, Leighton Orient away, Exeter at home, and then Barrow away.
Shall we have a little quick prediction of the points that we'll get from them?
Okay. Yeah, go on then. Total points from the next six games. So...
Nine. I'm going nine.
You're going nine, Danny.
And I don't think that's going to be enough for the playoffs. I'm going three for Bradford.
Really? You think we'll beat Bradford at home? Yeah. I don't.
Well, I do. Three against Harrogate and three potentially at Barrow. I think Oldham are going to beat us because of the Shez erection. I think Orient are going to beat us because they've got their own whatever erection. And I think Exeter will beat us.
I'll go seven.
Okay.
Seven. I think Barrow will win. Harrogate will win, and then I think we'll potentially get a point at Orient.
I personally think we'll get a point at Oldham, beat Harrogate, and get draws for a lot of the other. We'll lose to Exeter, I think.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a given. Playing right.
Going for I think I'm looking at four. I'm being very pessimistic, I know, but 4 points from the last six games.
The worrying thing is none of those are going to be enough to get us into the playoffs.
No.
Your 10th might come true.
Oh, there we go.
It needs a massive shift in attitude, like across the board. This is players, managers, supporters, everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For it to turn around at this point.
Play a few more up front. Give Scopo like a chance.
Go on. You might get a chance now that Lewis has been petulant.
No, Sam Hoskins will be in the middle.
It'll be Mitch Pinnock. Mitch Pinnock in the middle.
Oh, okay. Mitch Pinnock in the middle.
Yeah, Pinnock's it. Nullifiers even more, so stick Pinnock in the middle.
Brilliant. and on that positive ditty, we'll be back in a moment. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Shall we get some emails?
It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant, or just some fun, at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
Beautiful. As I said at the start of the pod, we had a lot of lovely messages over the last week. And I just wanted to say thank you very much to everybody that got in touch about that. But there's a different kind of correspondence in your post bag, Neil. Who's disappeared on us?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, there is you it are. Poo?
No, it's not poo. No.
Is it poo? Is it about biscuits?
No, it's not. Although it is about food.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Look, so it's actually from Robert Salmons, isn't it?
It is. Yes.
He has been in touch. So he told us that he enjoyed listening to last week's episode. Whoop. Tremendous. Especially the ideas for a street food fan park. He's let us know that if you'd like to try running your own food truck, you can now give it a go virtually with the Food Truck Simulator available on Steam.
The Food Truck Simulator, that sounds amazing.
I've tried a couple of them simulators on Steam.
Have you?
So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to guess, Danny.
Go on.
The Farm Simulator.
No. Yeah, that's one.
Flight Simulator?
Pardon?
Flight.
No. I'm scared of heights, John.
Oh.
I don't really do the sim. I'll tell you what I do get into, though. The tycoon games.
Like roller coaster.
Yes.
Hospital tycoon. Yeah, you could do anything. Golf course tycoon.
Football
brilliant.
Club chairman tycoon.
Yeah.
I love the idea. I love that. If you could simulate a food truck, Danny, what type of food would you?
If I could simulate a food truck, what type of food?
Yeah,
Which is after you just one food that you serve all the time.
Like I'm thinking like a type of cuisine. So like...
We'd have our Peruvian truck, wouldn't we, Charles?
Oh, there you go. That'd be amazing. What sort of food do you get in Peru, Danny?
Oh, all sorts.
All sorts,
Any kind of animal you can think of.
All the food.
All the food.
Yeah.
You name it.
Pig's heart, I think, was one of them.
Nice.
Sort of intestines was going on over there.
Yeah, lovely. I assume that'd be like in a hot dog bun.
Yes. Yeah, I ate that just outside the Peruvian National Stadium.
Oh,
that's tremendous. Enjoyable.
What's the National Stadium of Peru called, Danny?
The Peruvian National Stadium.
Oh, is that it? Oh, it's not like named after Nagy Solano or anything.
Yeah, not yet. No. The Nobby Solano Stadium.
The Nobby End.
Estadio Nacional.
Lovely.
That's your name.
I like it. Well, look, if you've got any thoughts on the Cobblers that you think that we would like to hear and read out, any questions for us, then send your emails to podcast@cobblerstome.com or you'll find us on Twitter @cobblerstome. We're also on Facebook. Do that as well.
I have a question.
Oh, go on, Neil.
Food truck related.
Hmm.
Should we?
No. Yes. No, we shouldn't.
Definitely yes.
When the water park's up and running.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Should we? Well, it doesn't even have to be when the water park's up and running. It can be when the fan zone's done.
Yeah, okay.
should we buy a food truck between us? Mm. We'll get Jeffy involved.
Yeah.
And serve jacket potatoes with any filling of your choice.
Oh.
Any filling, but what if we don't have it? What if someone asks?
Yeah, what happens if somebody
Do we have to like send someone up to Sainsbury's to get it?
Yeah, that's Jeffy's job.
On the tractor up to Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
We could have a Robert and Matt Salmons filled jacket potato.
There you go. Yeah, look at that.
Nice. I enjoyed it. Now it's time for what listener Valerie said made her laugh out loud last week.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. It's our brand new feature, Neil's Lost Letters. What have you got for us this week, Neil? You did trail an amazingly sounding one last week.
I did.
Is that the one that you're going to read to us?
It's not. No, and I'll tell you for why.
Oh.
I'm saving that.
Oh.
For a special occasion.
So you mean you've teased?
I've teased it, and I will tease a bit more of that one while we're here.
Okay.
Let me just find it in amongst all the other letters. Oh, here it is. Unfortunately, it's one of the biggest ones.
I love you, David.
Well, it's not. It's not far wrong. I'll just read out one of the lines from this one.
Okay.
We'll go through it all at one point.
Yeah.
Cardoza has a long-term vision. There we go.
I love it.
It's technically not wrong.
Not wrong.
Not wrong.
It's not wrong.
I'm going to save that one until some action starts happening.
Oh, nice.
With the A stand.
So what's the title of the one that you're bringing us this week then?
The title of the one this week is Leader Could Be Key.
Oh. Oh. Sounds topical.
What season's this from?
That is one for you to guess.
Okay. All right. Let's hear
the
it.
Transfer window has now shut.
Has it?
And with the loan capture of Clark Carlisle.
Oh, yes.
I hope we have signed our very own Superman.
Brilliant.
Carlisle is an experienced defender, but more importantly, he's a leader of men.
Oh,
yes, he is.
Which is exactly what we require in our current situation. I would give him the captain's armband and then sit back and watch while he organises the defence and the rest of the team into a cohesive unit.
Ooh.
Do not underestimate how big of a signing Clark Carlisle is for Northampton Town. He will be the man to mould our bunch of individuals into a team. He's a winner and he won't accept second best from anyone.
Ooh.
With Ben Harding signing a permanent deal on deadline day and the addition of Luke Guttridge last week, the spine of our side suddenly looks stronger and full of character.
Oh.
So it's how you went into Ben Harding after saying
that. Straight from that.
Oh, that's brilliant.
There we go.
I enjoyed that one, Neil. That was lovely.
There's a lot more to it. I go on to mention Bayo and Lewis Young.
Oh. Ashley's younger brother, of course.
So would that have been 2012?
Must have been January 2012, mustn't it?
By the way, that one actually ended with the last little paragraph ended with, we might still be bottom of the Football League, but our bags are packed and we're primed and ready to start our ascent up the table.
Oh.
Good times are just around the corner. Keep the faith.
Oh.
You weren't wrong, though, in fairness.
I wasn't wrong.
And until, like, May the 20th or whatever it was.
Yes, I wasn't wrong on that one. However, there's numerous other of these where I am vastly wrong.
Can I remember when we signed Clark Carlisle, and it was such a big signing for the Cobblers, wasn't it?
I mean, it was.
Especially at the bottom of League Two as well.
Yeah.
It was a big signing.
Huge signing. And, I mean, he was...
Ben Harding, not so much.
No.
He contributed, Danny.
He did, yeah.
I think I probably
and yet, sorry, Charles. Mm. Before we go any further, mm. Ben Harding had fantastic hair.
He did. You're right. But I do think that I agree with what you said in that letter, Neil, about how Clark Carlisle was the man to basically sort our defence out and to lead us away from the bottom of the table. And he did it.
He did it.
Incredible. He was.
Who was his central defensive partner? Was it Langmead? Kelvin Langmead?
Yeah, Langers was definitely.
Was that the turnaround of Langers?
Might have been.
Mm. The making of Langers.
There we go. See?
But yeah,
I always talk nonsense.
Mm, only
99% nonsense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fluttering of. There we go.
Little fluttering.
PFA chairman as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he was. Yeah, you're right. And
want the title of next week's one?
Yes, please. Well, oh, yes. Well, hang on. One second, though, Neil. Is this actually going to be next week's one? Because last
week, don't leave us hanging
one,
with a.
You know, you can't just. Is this definitely going to be next week's one?
This will definitely be next week's one. Okay. Let me find one.
Oh, prepared as always.
What a week for the fans.
Oh. Can I guess what it's about?
You can, yes.
Is it about the time that David Cardoza and David McIntosh broke ground at Sixfield Stadium?
It is not.
Ah.
Is it about the Scunthorpe March?
Oh, yeah.
It is not about the Scunthorpe March.
Is it about that time that Clarence returned?
It's not. I mean, I think you're thinking too big. Don't forget, this is around the time when we were bottom of the league. We probably just won a game.
Was it when Emil Sinclair scored twice at Torquay?
No, but I'll tell you what, the picture that accompanies it is of a young Michael Jacobs.
Oh,
very nice.
Very nice. Okay, well, I look forward to that next week, Neil. Thank you, thank you very much for that. Shall we find out how NTFC women got on this weekend?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Jolly good. So here's James Wiles with his report.
Cobblers women won 8-0 away to Leicester City ladies in the league on Sunday. Leah Cadone scored 4, Alex Ditt scored twice, and Faye Noble and Eden Brown scored 1 each. The win means Cobblers move level in points, with top of the table Chesterfield 2 games in hand. They're ahead after just 50 seconds through Cadone. Noble doubled the lead a few minutes later. Cadone made it 3 before a quarter of an hour, but missed a chance to complete a first half hat trick late in the half when she side footed wide from the penalty spot. She did score a third early in the second half and added a fourth after the hour. Dix finally got on the score sheet with 15 to go and doubled her tally soon after. And Brown rounded off the scoring with just over 5 minutes left. Lou Barry and Josh Oldfield's side host Rise Park next week. They won 7-0 and 7-1 when the sides met in the league in the FA Cup early in the season. I spoke to the joint managers after the win.
So Lou, an 8-0 win today at Leicester ladies. What are your thoughts on the performance?
Yeah, good in most spells. Good in most spells. I think showed really good patience throughout most of the game. Obviously, the team sat back for most of the game, so obviously we were kind of in control of it. So we showed really good patience. Some good spells, some bad spells, as you can imagine, with the game being quite flat in patches. But overall, another clean sheet, 8 goals, and we move on to the next one.
And Josh, that's back-to-back 8-0 wins on the road. You're just pleased with that?
Yeah, really pleased. Really pleased. We've consistently kept clean sheets, but now we're adding a number of goals spread across the team as well, so couldn't be happy with the goals that we're adding and the quality of those as well. We're really high, so really, really delighted with that.
And Lou, you'll be hoping to keep the momentum going into the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's what it's all about now. Six league games left, and ultimately, you know, our challenge is to go out there and win them all. So it is about that momentum now going into the next one. Can we win the next one? And just thinking it, as said, that cliche, but it's one game at a time for us. So we want to take the momentum from today and keep pushing and make sure we finish strong.
Finally, Josh, that begins with Rise Park next week. What are your thoughts going to that one?
Yeah, probably a similar challenge to the one that we face today. We've played them twice already this season, once in the league and once in the FA Cup. So we have a good idea of what they're about, but they have the same about us. You can imagine that it would be quite a difficult game in terms of them sitting deep and that sort of stuff. So we'll have to be patient and we'll have to try and play with ruthlessness today, which would be important. So we go again and a similar challenge to this one today.
Did anyone else hear we go again?
Yes.
There we
are. That's how you talk about going for promotion, though, right?
Absolutely, you're right.
Can I know it's a great win, and I'm not going to take anything away from that win. And Leo Cadone is on fire again. But have you seen Leicester City LFC's goal difference?
I'm looking at it right now.
No, what is it? I'd like to
Neil. I'm going to ask you, Neil, because you can't see it. 15 games played.
Yep.
In the league, how many goals do you think they've conceded in that time? 15 games.
What's their record? How many have they won and lost?
They haven't won any of those games. They drew one. And lost 14.
Really, right, okay.
So keep in mind, 15 games. How many goals would you expect even a team at the bottom of the table to concede?
I will go with minus.
How many goals have they conceded, basically?
Yeah. Okay, how many goals? Okay.
They've scored 8, just for context.
All right, they've scored 8. Okay. 100. And 21.
Oh, it's close. 119.
Oh,
see, I was hoping you were going to say 50 or something. Then,
so yeah, because you don't ask that sort of question unless it's a big figure, right?
True.
Minus 100
right.
goals. That's that's a lot of goals. You can see.
It must be a bit demoralising for them.
Yes, huge they've got 1 point.
Are they in the? Are they? I assume that are they in the wrong league?
But it possibly. Seems like it.
I mean, they're going to be relegated, aren't they? By the looks,
because there's nothing. You mean you can't really gain anything from getting hammered.
No. Well, there's only one relegation spot, so they are still technically only 5 points behind Rise Park. But
who have only won once?
That was... sort of
I've given them hope. Imagine they won their last few games 1-0 and just
stayed. What?
But yeah. But anyway, Cobblers, great win.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. That stays in touch because I think Lincoln won 14-0. I think who were just behind them.
That induced a wow.
Yeah, it did. Yeah,
I mean, you say who are just behind them? They're not just behind them. They've got a game in hand on the Cobblers, but they've only got 25 points, and we've got 32.
The closest team behind us. Yeah. Chesterfield won 3-0, I think. Yeah. So yeah, they're still 11 on points with 2 games in hand. Yeah, it's up there.
Indeed. 8-0. I was just having a look at the fixtures actually, as to what's actually remaining for.
Yeah. I think we need another Sixers game before the end of the season if it's like. On if
I've
on
got
it.
A suggestion.
Oh, go on.
So, if our promotion push does in fact seem like it's petering out, let's swap it round. Get
the men's team at Hartlepool
on a Sunday.
Get them over there. That'll learn them.
And the ladies up at Sixfields, 3 PM on a Sunday.
Oh, actually, looking at this, we've got Lincoln. It looks like last game of the season.
We have. That's as long as because it says here that the Notts County game, which is away on the 24th of April, has been postponed.
Yeah. Actually, you're right, because Lincoln played Chesterfield on the last day of their last day. So it could get moved around a little bit.
Yeah. Looking at this, so teams that we've got left to play. So Mansfield. Boo, away. Yeah, that's been postponed from a couple of weeks ago, in fairness, by the looks of this, 20th of March. So Rise Park. Next weekend, 2 o'clock, Hartlepool playing fields. Then we've got to play Leicester City again, this time at home.
Yeah, 79-0. Sorry, Leicester women's team who are listening.
Then it'll be Mansfield at home. And then that game against Lincoln United. And then somewhere we'll have Mansfield away and Notts County away as well.
It's them Mansfield games, isn't it? The Lincoln one that.
Yeah, so there we go. Lots of games left. 6 games left for both the men's and the women's sides. Both teams going for promotion.
Oh, are they?
Which one will make it?
Both make it.
Of course, but
it's allowed. You can't just choose.
It's allowed. It's not allowed. It's
Josh sounded like he's in a lot of shouting.
Didn't he? Need some Lemsip, that boy. Yeah. We go again, indeed. I don't know. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Friday with the preview show, looking ahead to that game against Bradford. Thanks to Danny and you, Neil, as well. Thank you. And thank you for listening. Remember, if you like what we do and you want to support us to keep making all these episodes, these podcasts, the blog, everything, then you can join the fan club on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. That's all from us. I hope you have a great week. Up the Cobblers.
Whey, there's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing.